The great firewall of China blocks ChatGPT. Some students are starting to use virtual presence devices. Meta is getting into the language model game, and the Supreme Court is judging responsible use of apps. All that and more next on The Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show, your headquarters for up-to-date scam awareness, science, and cutting-edge technology talk. This is episode 121. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Thanks for tuning in with us every Saturday at 2 p.m., and we post all of our shows and bonus content on computerdoctorshow.com and the Computer Doctor Show YouTube channel. So we encourage you to take a look at that. We'd love to hear from you, so give us a call during the show with your computer, internet, cybersecurity comments and questions on our open studio line, 520-790-2040. Co-hosting today is John.
Hello.
Visiting us from the Cassidy Unscrewed Theater.
Hello.
Okay, we're going to be learning a little bit about the Unscrewed Theater as well. Also, a reminder to please support our sponsors. Perfection Auto Works is our main sponsor for all of your car's needs. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been through my share of auto mechanics myself, and it's my privilege to have Perfection Auto Works as our sponsor. If you go to their website, perfectionautoworks.com, you can see their 5-star reviews. Also, they have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and that is something that is really, really hard to achieve. It's not an easy thing to get an A-plus rating with them, especially if you're not paying them, okay? So, hey, hats off to them. So give them a call for an appointment for them to look at your car, 520-323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com. Remember, if you like the Computer Doctor Show, please support our sponsors. We have a great technology show today, so let's get right into our tech news this week. The Great Firewall of China. We call this the Great Firewall of China, not the Great Wall of China, but they have this firewall. You know, they block all kinds of connections from the rest of the world, including, added to that list, ChatGPT. ChatGPT is a great language model, gives you great responses using artificial intelligence and machine learning. It's available in 9 languages and it's becoming very, very popular. One of the languages that it comes in is Chinese, but the Chinese government has elected to block ChatGPT from their country. China already blocks other services such as Google, Facebook, Twitter, just about all Western media websites. Nevertheless, canny Chinese users have found numerous workarounds to access the revolutionary service, such as using VPNs, virtual private networks, or I think we've all have been guilty of this, and that is using a friend's phone number or a friend's email address who is in a approved country. Okay. Purchasing logins through online marketplace such as Taobao. Should I say Taobao, right?
Yep.
That is the, it's kind of like this place where Chinese people can get logins and interesting things to get their work around so that they can get all of our websites from here in the West. Also, taking advantage of a variety of proxy bots. Are you familiar with what a proxy is by chance?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So before VPNs, there was a proxy servers. So proxy servers are still a real thing and they can still do workarounds so that you can still get things done that are banned in a particular area or a particular country. There's still these workarounds. The Chinese people are also big users of WeChat. It's a ubiquitous messaging service, kind of like WhatsApp, but then there's also WeChat. Mm-hmm. So if you have any people in China that you are trying to interact with, WhatsApp and WeChat seem to be the the apps of choice with them. So that's interesting stuff. Also, some students, I believe right here in Tucson, some students are starting to use virtual presence devices. So we were talking a little bit about this before the show. Virtual presence device. So what does that sound like, John?
Honestly, it sounds very Jetsons-y to me.
Yeah. that's exactly what it is. So a virtual presence device is anything where you can interact with an environment remotely. And, you know, it's kind of second nature these days because, you know, with the advent of Zoom and a video conference, you know, it's something that we're somewhat familiar with. But it's a little bit more immersive when we're talking about virtual presence. Basically, it's a, you know, they go back decades. You know, they were used in space and underwater exploration robots. Basically, you put on this headset and there would be like these mechanical sleeves that you would put your arms in and you can move your fingers, move your arms, and the robot on the other side, someplace else, mm-hmm. not in the same room, would do the same thing or mimic the same motions that you're doing with this machinery that you have attached to your body. And the goal there was so that they can go into spaces where humans couldn't go, very, very deep waters or very, very far away space exploration missions, things of that sort. But now we have these virtual presence devices kind of like toys. Mm-hmm. And now one girl, I believe she has leukemia, and she is using a virtual presence device at school. So there's this stick that has wheels, right? Mm-hmm. On the top of the stick is a tablet, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a picture of her sitting in her room, and she's controlling this moving thing with wheels in the school, and she's saying hi to her friends. Hi, hi. Basically, it's a screen with her very Jetson-y, you know, just like you were saying. That's not the future. That is now.
Right? Can you imagine, though, the future of high school fashion? Like, no robot of a daughter of mine is leaving the house with those wheels on.
or even you put on, like, a wig of hair on the top on top of the tablet.
Oh, lights in it. I want to do this now.
Wow. You know, it's amazing. Or what if somebody hacks, you know, your virtual presence device. Now they're roaming around the school as you, you know.
Rick Astley is introducing himself to everybody.
All right. But could you imagine traveling the world as a robot would be the question. Where would you like to go? I wonder if that's like a real service. If there are people out there that have virtual presence devices that are just available for you to just go into and now experience the world of where that device is.
That could be your next multi-million-dollar idea.
Might be.
Maybe you shouldn't have said it on
the
radio.
I have $1 million ideas every month, and I'm still not a millionaire, so go figure. Okay, here's some interesting stuff. Meta, formerly Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know, Facebook has changed their name to Meta because they're getting to more stuff. Meta is getting into the language model game as well, similar to ChatGPT. So ChatGPT is the base kind of standard model, but lots of companies are starting to pick up on it. Microsoft is picking up on it. They're out there. They have already released Bing AI, which is not available to everybody. You do have to sign up for it, mm-hmm. and when they feel like you're ready, then they'll push a button and then it'll be open to you. Google is trying to do that as well. Google is called the Bard, B-A-R-D. So Google, but it's still unreleased. They've already announced it, but it's not ready yet. The Microsoft Bing AI, that is already up and running. So Microsoft has beat Google in that race there. But the language model for Meta will be called Llama, or Llama, L-L-A-M-A. How would you pronounce that? Hmm. I would say that's Llama.
I'd go with Llama.
But so it's L-L-A-M-A because there is a race to implement AI in more tools. And somebody always calls me during the show, of course. I'll have to call him back. But this AI race, because the demand is so high for things to be happening in an artificial intelligence way, people have gotten a taste of what artificial intelligence, and they want more. Right. And they're demanding it. And these companies, they know that people are going to want it. So they're racing, trying to put out this stuff, whether it's ready or not.
Yeah, It's just as much fun as it is terrifying, and it is a lot of fun.
Here's an interesting quote from Mark Zuckerberg. He was interviewed by CNBC a few days ago. He said that language models will come in several sizes, from, get this, 7 billion parameters to 65 billion parameters. A parameter, or an AI parameter, is what an AI is measured on. A single parameter represents one viewpoint or one thing that it's measured up against. Okay, a statement, a fact, that can be one parameter. Mm-hmm. Okay, you give it two or three other facts, and now it has three parameters to figure out what the answer to is. So a 7 billion parameter AI device will have this ability, and a 65 billion parameter AI would have a greater ability. The OpenAI ChatGPT version 3 has a parameter of 175 billion. And that's just as an example. And look how great ChatGPT is at 175 billion parameters. That basically means that it has access to 175 billion pieces of information, that it's able to, any question that you ask it, it has the ability to access all 175 billion of those parameters and equate an answer
that's
appropriate for you. So how about that? All right. So if that's not enough for you to get into ChatGPT, I don't know what's going to help. I still have people. I was at a tech conference just on Thursday. Mm-hmm. There's still people at the tech conference that have still never heard about ChatGPT. Wow. I don't know how. I don't know why there are some groups of people that have know about it and they've already started to play with it. And then there are groups of people that have no idea about what on earth is going on. Mm-hmm. So, but we're going to get into that into our next segment. But for now, we're going to take our midway commercial break with a word from our sponsors. Up next, science and tech history from this week and how Section 230 in the Supreme Court is judging responsible use of apps. This is the Computer Doctor Show. We'll be right back.
Mr. Taggart, we'll get right on that transmission.
Fool. Here, give Mongo the keys and have him park that piece of junk in the back lot.
Mongo like candy.
Hey, boss man, you want me to get on that car?
No, Lily Von Stuck's coming over to sing for us.
Hey, she's here.
I've been with thousands of men again and again.
I leave here for 10 minutes and come back and you're all dancing around like a bunch of Kansas City maggots.
You guys give Rock Ridge Auto Repair a bad name.
Give us another chance.
Doggone it, I've had enough. I'm taking my car to Perfection Auto Works.
Dang, lost another customer.
A man who drink like that, he gonna die.
At Perfection Auto Works, we'll blaze a trail to get you back in the saddle again. Perfection Auto Works will make your car run at full horsepower. Call 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show, your source for scam awareness, science, and cutting-edge technology talk. I'm Aaron Moss, your host, along with John, co-hosting today from the Unscrewed Theater. Before we get into our next segment, John, what can you tell us about the Unscrewed Theater?
What can I tell you about the Unscrewed Theater? Well, let's
see.
As I go straight to the website. Because I came prepared with the website.
Well, we go.
I can tell you that tonight, Not Burnt Out, Just Unscrewed, Uncensored, and the Big Daddies is going to be going on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would say go take a look at the theater's website today, unscrewedtheater.org, and get yourself some tickets. Coming up Friday, from the top, is going to be going. They do musical improv. I'm a part of that group. They are fun all the time. I was a huge fan before I even joined.
I've been also seeing a lot of things on social media about the Unscrewsical.
The Unscrewsical was last week.
Oh, it was.
It was so fun. Okay. We did a lot of musical short form games, and I don't know if I had more fun than the audience, but I'm okay.
I'll wait for the videos hopefully we'll see some funny videos on social media with that. All right. Let's go into our next segment. Looking back at science and tech history, we have two entries. John, why don't you read those off for us?
Okay. Let's see here. February 21st, 1804. That is 219 years ago. Locomotive patented by Richard...
Trevithick.
Thank you, sir.
Richard Trevithick patented the first locomotive, 1804, 219 years ago. Originally, they really weren't designed for passengers, but for carrying loads of coal and iron. And reported output power was about 10 to 15 horsepower at the time. And locomotives, hey, we're still in heavy use today. If we can just keep them on the tracks, you know, after 219 years, you would have figured out, hey, let's figure out how to keep these things on the tracks.
Maybe that's the next revolution.
We still haven't figured that out yet. We have trains of falling off the tracks all the time here. All right, what else do you have for us?
Well, let's see. February 22nd, 1978, only 45 years ago, the first GPS satellite launched.
That's right. And GPS, Global Positioning System satellite, was named Navistar 1. It was launched February 22nd, 1978. It was part of a bunch of other satellites that were being put into space for the use of the of global positioning. And it's very interesting when you go on to modern apps, even today, whether it's a GPS system, global positioning system in your car, a GPS in your phone or other device, a lot of times they're still using these same satellites that have been put there back in the 70s.
Wow.
The reason why they're still there is because they have these very, very precise atomic clocks in them. And these atomic clocks are necessary in order to get the positioning just right. So there's a total of about, what did it say, how many? I think there was a total of like 22, I think. 30 satellites are in orbit, and it's all operated and maintained by the United States Space Force. And it has become an essential tool for navigation. Could you imagine what would happen to society if you turned on your GPS device and it could not find a satellite?
I wouldn't have made it here.
Yeah. And, you know, the cost for paper maps would skyrocket.
Oh, sure.
Okay, and any type of downloadable maps, because even if we still had the internet, I'm still sure that you could download a map, like a navigational map, but it would not be able to put the dot or the triangle of where you are on that map, but you would still have access to a map. You can still figure out, okay, I'm on this street, and I must be here, and then figure out your way. I had to go through that myself. I had to find my way through a street map, you know.
Right. Well, you know, I remember those days.
I remember those days.
I'm still good at finding my way on a map.
All right. So we're very, very thankful for those GPS satellites out there, and good anniversary of 45 years ago. Here's a quick announcement. You've heard of influencers. So we know what an influencer is. It's an influencer is just simply somebody that makes videos, and a lot of people follow them. They make viral videos. And since they have such a tremendous following, they influence a particular brand, or they can have influence over how someone thinks about something. So these people are starting to become even more influential than a lot of people in your traditional media. So there's now such thing called defluencers. Not influencers, but defluencers. So what do you think that sounds like? What does a defluencer do?
I don't know, but I think that sounds like a great title.
It is a person that makes viral videos about their bad experiences about products and services and things. You know, all this time I was thinking about, hey, I could be a really good influencer, but I think I would be a better defluencer,
right?
Okay, because I find problems with things. That's just the way I think. But I think all of us, in some way, we are always drawn to the bad. You know, like if somebody ever comes up to you and they ask you, okay, I have good news and bad news. Which news do you want to hear first?
Always.
You always want to hear the bad news first, and then you get cheered up by the good news. Mm-hmm. If you go on to any type, like let's say you're trying to do a new product or service, you want to look at the reviews, okay? You see there's 10 five-star reviews and 2 one-star reviews. Which ones are you going to look at?
Always the one-star reviews.
The one-star reviews.
Right?
Nobody reads the five-star reviews. People always read the one-star reviews. They want to see. They want the ugly stuff first.
Yeah.
You know, they want to see that.
I ordered the lobster. It came out, smacked me in the face, and left.
Right. Yes, we want to know that.
Right.
We want to know the worst that can happen. Right. So. In that way, I think this new fad of defluencers, hey, it may have a pretty good point. All right, and I encourage you to be a defluencer.
Oh yeah,
you know, I think everybody should be a defluencer. You know, we should have a defluencer channel.
That would be amazing.
The Computer Doctor Show defluencer.
Ooh.
Oh, there we go. Okay, here's our final point here. The Supreme Court is judging on responsible use of apps. So if you've been watching the news lately, Google is in the news, you know, it was in court again, and as they often are, regarding legal shielding and reduced liability that protects tech companies from their users' posts and how the companies moderate messages on their sites. And basically what this means is companies like YouTube, Facebook, Google, any social media platform, they, according to the terms and conditions that, you click that check button that, you know, hey, do you agree to our terms that nobody ever reads? They just check it.
Right.
In there, it says, you know, that they have the ability to moderate, they have the ability to do this, that if you post like a poem, you know, they have the rights to it. It's not yours anymore. There's all kinds of, you know, stipulations in those agreements. However, when it comes to things that are negatively affecting groups of people, such as terrorism, or if people are trying to coordinate a murder, or if people are trying to coordinate some sort of attack on a country or something, if this is the mode of communication that that bad actors, you know, terrorists, criminals, otherwise are using, does the platform bear some responsibility on the outcome of that? That is the question that's up there. So Google is in the main focus of this Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act so that they can rule on the pivotal case, Gonzalez versus Google. So the big question, who is responsible for the actions on social media? The users or the platform? You decide. You know, and essentially what is happening with the negotiations so far, they're kind of coming into some sort of balance between the two, because there's got to be some sort of regulation in order to prevent bad things from happening. But it's at the same time, you can't take too much of people's freedoms away, because then people aren't just going to like that. You know,
right.
That's the way it goes. Before we wrap up, I just want to thank our sponsor, Perfection Auto Works, again for sponsoring our show. Stop by their location, Speedway in Craycroft, for your free 26-point inspection. And as always, don't click unverified links in emails or text messages. Use a password manager. Always look at the address bar. Check activity on your bank statements on a regular basis. Enable two-factor authentication. Verify all incoming and outgoing calls. Back up your system to the cloud. And listen to the Computer Doctor Show live on Saturdays and post it as podcasts on Tuesdays. If you missed any part of this episode, go to computerdoctorshow.com, click episodes, and find episode 121. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. John co-hosting today from the Unscrewed Theater. Tom Fairbanks is at the control board. Stay safe, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Computer Doctor Show. If you missed any part of this live broadcast, we post all our episodes online at computerdoctorshow.com. Remember, the world is getting more and more tech, and so should you. To stay current with technology, listen to The Computer Doctor Show each week for local and global tech insights. If you have suggestions for a topic on a future show, send us an email at info@computerdoctorshow.com.